Let's pray. Father, we know that your word is precious. I pray now, Father, that you would help me that I might treasure it to your people, that it may change our hearts and move us closer to you because, Father, you are loving and kind and gracious. We ask that because of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. After you've been married for a few years, my pastor just said, uh-oh. After you've been married for a few years, I'm really speaking to you men now. You women can do this, but mostly it's men. You might want to be willing to ask the question, wife, what did you see in me? Now, some of you men, understand, this is not marriage. This is not my encouragement to you. It might take 5 years. For me, it only took 40 years, okay? So I asked Kay, I said, Kay, what did you see in me? I'm just, you know, to marry me, I was assuming she's going to say, well, you had great potential, or you were smart, or you were handsome, or you had lots of black hair. I did, you know, 50 years ago. And I was waiting for all those answers. I said, Kay, what did you see in me? And she said, well, God told me to marry you. You mean it wasn't because I'm this or because I'm that? She said, no. All those things are fine, but God told me to marry you. I wonder what God saw in me. I wonder. This morning, as we meet my friend Gideon and also Saul become Paul and also the Galilee fishermen, I want to explore that a bit. What did God see in them? What did God see in Gideon? Gideon has to be one of the most ironic figures in Scripture. Let me read to you again how it begins. Now, you heard me tell the children that Gideon was there. He was hiding because of the Midianites. Now, let's see. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Now, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth of Ophrah. The terebinth, that's like a bush tree sort of thing. It is in the cashew family, okay? So it's a bush, it's a tree. At Ophrah, that's a place, not a person, okay? At Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizarite. So now his dad was Joash. Joash was an Abizarite, part of the Manasseh clan. I hope you got that. While his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Now, do you get the picture? That Gideon is hiding in a hole in the ground. A wine press is a hole in the ground. So Gideon's hiding in the wine press. He's beating out wheat to get the chaff away, which is anticlimactic because you need the wind to get the chaff away. But so he's in this hole, he's hiding. And what does God say to him? The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Well, you know, he's hiding, and God says, you're a mighty man of valor. How did God see valor in a man who's hiding from his enemy, hiding with the wheat? Well, that's how God called Gideon, probably one of the most ironic figures in Scripture. And he says, all right, now I want you to go and to defeat the Midianites. And you heard the children's sermon and about how he asked them, he said, raise an army, 10,000 men. He gave them several tests to finally cut them down to 300, three companies of 100. He sends them out. And here's what he did. He sent them out and he says, now go around the camp and blow the trumpet. You saw the trumpet. Lift up the jar with that's a candle. That's a candle, and do that, and then shout. And when you shout, say this: "The Lord for the Lord and Gideon for the Lord and for Gideon." Well, they did that, and all the Midianites ran, surrendered, or whatever. So they defeated the Midianites with the tools of worship. What did God see in Gideon, who was fearful, not a man of valor? How did he see that? Why did he see that in him? Well, what he saw was that Gideon was willing to do one important thing, to listen. To listen. He was willing to do what God asked of him. Important. Now, what did Jesus see in Saul, who has become Paul? What did he see in him? I read again, let me read you the scripture. Paul writes, last of all, as to one untimely born, that means himself. He was born, he did not meet Jesus himself in the flesh. Jesus appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul was the greatest persecutor of the Christians. Now, what did God see in Paul to call him to come and be the great evangelist that he was? Did God just see Saul the rabbi, or Saul the scholar, or Saul the legalist? He was that. Or did he just see Saul the persecutor? He was that also. But what God saw was, God's viewpoint is always amazing. God's viewpoint is eternal. And so, in the same way that God's viewpoint of Gideon was that you can win this war if you do what I say and use the tools of worship, so now with Saul, he said, you will be a great evangelist if, in fact, you do this. But what God saw most importantly was not what he saw in Paul, but what he saw in a very obscure figure, Ananias. Now, after Paul was struck blind on the street, on the road to Damascus, and he was told to go to a street called Straight in Damascus, and he said, there, and God told Ananias, he said, go and find this man Saul and pray for him. Now, Ananias had to be brave, because Ananias, he said, wait a minute, that's the one that's been killing people like us. No, but go and do that. So Ananias really became the hero of this moment. Ananias went and found Saul, prayed for him to become Paul. Now, we often like to think of ourselves, what does God see in me? Well, I hope he sees in me that great act of conversion, just like Saul becoming Paul. You know, we like to think, I'm going to be the one converted. But what about, can you ever see yourself as the one that's Ananias? The one that God says, go to this person because they need prayer. Go to this person because they're blind. Go to this person because they're in a dark place. Go to this person and pray for them. But Lord, I'm not going to go to them and pray for them because they might laugh at me. Rejection. Isn't that one of the great fears? They might laugh at me. So I can't go, Lord. But Ananias went. Ananias went. And Ananias prayed over Saul, who's become Paul. And then Paul became one of the great evangelists. But he would never have been anything without little, brave, prayerful, willing Ananias. What did Jesus see in Paul? Well, one thing he saw was community. Community. He saw a relationship. He saw people willing to be in relationship with him, willing to be connected. All right, so what about the Galilee fishermen? Now, I told Richard I was going to talk about him today. So, because I said, you know, Richard is a great fisherman, and the last thing he would need would be to hear something from me, a pastor, tell him how to fish. I have no idea how to fish, you see. So, but here's what Jesus did to the Galilee fishermen, Luke chapter 5. When he had finished speaking, Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, put out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, but Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. Now, that's a bit like Lieutenant Dan telling Forrest Gump where to go catch shrimp. I mean, you know, Richard, our favorite shrimp boat captain, wouldn't listen to me about where to catch shrimp or any kind of fish, for sure. So what was it? What did Jesus see in the Galilee fishermen? Obedience. Obedience. Even though we've done this, even though we don't think you know what you're talking about, even, you know, I love the one story where it says, put the net on the other side of the boat. Well, the fish don't know which side of the boat. Oh, they're not over there. They're on this side. I learned that when I was a little kid. One day I was catching fish with my daddy in his little boat. And he said, you're catching these fish. I said, yeah, you're fishing on the wrong side. It makes no sense, does it? What did Jesus see in the Galilee fishermen? He saw obedience. Obedience. What did he see in Gideon? What did he see in Paul? What did he see in the Galilee fishermen? What does Jesus see in you and in me? Well, he sees not just the potential that your mama sees, okay? You know, mothers always see the potential that we never recognize. He doesn't just see what you might accomplish by listening faith. Now, let me say that again. What you might accomplish by listening faith. I didn't just say faith. Faith that listens, okay? Because you accomplish great things by faith that is listening. But he also sees what we may accomplish in community. Community. You remember, that's why we're here this morning. Remember, folks, community. This all began not with a marriage, but community. It wasn't just Adam and Eve who got married, but Adam and Eve who were in community with their Creator. They walked and talked with God every day in the garden. That's community. So it's not just about two, it's about being bonded together. That's why we're here this morning. We gather together in worship because we worship is more powerful, it's more wonderful in community. So here at St. John's Parish, we live in community. That's what we do. I'm continuing to be amazed. Kay and I now have been here 2 years. We continue to try to work to keep up. To keep up. Timothy sends me an email that's got 2 pages of things that we're doing. I'm going, wait a minute, Timothy, I can't do all this. But a wonderful thing. And everyone doesn't have to do everything. But what happens is that we all find our place. We all find your place to serve in community. Many of the men are off at the men's conference this weekend. And so they're living in community. There's nothing more powerful than hearing 400 men sing praises to God. Let me tell you, there's nothing more powerful than that. Or the new men's group, J-Curve, which is starting. Or Valentine cards, which we're doing right now for the youth, Charleston County Youth Detention Center. Or the Sunday school for children and the adults. Right now, the adults have Sunday school this morning, and the children are outside having the same thing. That's giving us great community and teaching. 80s plus luncheon. It's the only time I wanted to be 80. I wanted to be 80. Not yet, but... The Missions Oyster Roast. It's on and on, Crecio, what we do here at Hot Gap School. We live in community for ourselves, but we live in community for others. For others. That's what helps us through the difficult times of life. That's what helps us to enjoy the wonderful times of life. You know, I noticed Kay and I, we love to watch some of these stand-up comics on Netflix and places and so forth. And whenever I hear something funny, I look at Kay to see if she's laughing. Because it's more fun to enjoy it with someone else. That's the whole point. Life is enjoyable in community. That's the point. That's why we're here. So this morning, what are you facing right now? A big change? A big decision? A big triumph? Facing the fear of a tragedy? How will you do it? How will you do it? Will you do it through your own strength? Will you do it because you're nice looking or strong or have good potential or have nice hair? Or you do it because the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit are willing to speak to you, strengthen you, guide you, empower you, be with you. Amen. That's how we're in community. So maybe it's something that might require bravery that you don't have, like Gideon. Maybe it'd be something that requires trust in the Lord to do something that seems ridiculous, like Ananias. Or maybe it's something that requires obedience to do something that doesn't make any real sense, like the Galilee fishermen. The important thing is this. Together, we live in community with Jesus Christ, and the Lord is with you, O woman of valor. The Lord is with you, O man of valor, mighty man of valor. Thanks be to God. Amen. Yes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. 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 I want to see you.